Welcome back to Beyond the Stables, the podcast that sheds the light on the new generation of top-level show jumpers. This week, we are still in the Netherlands, but this time recording our episode from Staalkasten, joined by not one, but two exceptional talents, Lars and Niels Kasten, the dynamic twin brothers making waves in top-level show jumping. At just 24, Lars has already secured a World Cup victory. Meanwhile, Niels has been learning from the finest show jumpers. He recently returned to his family stable, and we're all eagerly anticipating their next big leap in the sport. Today's visit to Staalkasten is particularly special as we delve into the lives of these twin brothers trained by their father, Peter Kasten. Their story is not just about individual success, but a testament of the power of family, unity, and mutual support. So join us as we explore the journeys of Lars and Niels Kasten, uncovering the dedication and synergy that drive them both to excel in the competitive world of show jumping. This episode underlines the essence of true brotherhood and how teamwork really does make the dream work.
They jump the last, they're clear, that's a great start. That is an absolutely superb round.
So we're here today in the Netherlands with Lars and Niels Kasten, two twin show jumpers from the Netherlands. So we want to share a bit your backstory in the world of show jumping. You're both very successful in the international circuit, and what makes you guys stand out is that you are twins competing in the same sport and at the same level. So one question we always like to start off the podcast with a bit is, if your horses could speak, what do you think they would say about you?
Well, I hope they would say that I'm a very gentle, nice rider. No, I think I hope to believe so that I'm a nice rider for the horses. I'm quite a light rider, so I sit quite light. I'm not completely French, but I think maybe a bit lighter than compared to other Dutch or maybe German riders. And I try to work them in a really nice and positive way and take my time, especially with the young ones, to really not overdo it and take the time. So hopefully they think I'm a nice rider.
I think I would almost need to say the same because I am brought up at the same system as my brother. So yeah, there is not so much more to add.
Did you both start training with your father, and do you both still train with your father?
We both started doing the ponies at home here, where we are now. And then at a later stage, I went a bit away from home, but I'm back now. Yeah, we've basically followed the same system since kids.
Is your dad an inspiration for you? Do you want to follow his path? He was also a dressage rider.
Yeah, he is. He was. So he was a dressage rider, but then he's switched to jumping. So I think what we, from the start, we really got to do with him is to focus on the dressage work and to first have the dressage in order and then to from there go to the jumping. So I think that for sure had a big influence in our riding. And he has been a role model for us. His parents had nothing to do with horses, so he really set it up on his own, from his own inspiration and his own desire to do it. And so of course that is something we look up to, and hopefully we can bring the company even further along and make it successful.
And is it easy to train with your father? I mean, we've seen some success stories in the international circuit, like the Charles family, but I guess it must not be easy to always train with family. I mean, you have your brother and then you have your dad.
Yeah, no, it's really a family thing. So obviously you have always your struggles in like if you work 24/7 with your family. But on the other hand, I think it's also so rewarding to do it as a family and you know where you stand with each other and you know what you can expect from each other. So of course, sometimes you have your disagreements, but I think important is to talk about it and then solve it from there and to get in the end the same result.
You say that you left home for a bit. Where did you go to train, and what did it bring to you?
So I left home when I was 16. I went to Germany. I went to train with Otto Becker. He's the chef d'équipe from Germany. Because we were actually, my parents were quite good friends with them, and so come. And I was supposed to go there for half a year and then switch with Lars, but that never happened. And then in the end, I was away for 7 years. Obviously, I think it brought me a lot because you see also other sides of stables, how things work and so. But also, on the other hand, you can see that it can also be good just to be at one place, as Lars is very successful at the moment as well. So I don't know which way is better or not, but yeah, it, for me, it definitely brought me a lot, yeah.
And last, you just stayed home or have you ever trained abroad?
So I always stayed home working, but I trained, I was one time with for 2 weeks with Marcus Eining, Otto Becker, when we were younger. He helped us a bit, Albert Voren. Now I'm also, also for a few years back, I went sometimes training to Jos Lansing. So I've been training like a little bit with other people, not every week, but sometimes I just go with two or three horses just to hear it from someone else. But I think the, in the end, it always comes down a little bit to the same way.
And we saw that, well, I have to admit, I'm not quite sure which one, if it was both of you, but you spent some time in Florida. I think it was at WEF. Okay. Tell us a bit about, I think we see now more and more European riders going down to WEF for the winter circuit. What are the main differences you see between the competition there and the one here? Like, is it worth the trip over? Did you gain a lot of experience? What were the main kind of things that pushed you to go there for the season?
Well, the main reason was that I was riding some horses for an American woman. At first she initiated it to go there. So she brought it up, and actually I was quite enthusiastic straight away, because it was always, you know, you can see, and I think it's a nice experience, and definitely when I was there I really enjoyed it for the time being. And the difference is, I think in the end, like, if you see the five-star competition, I think whether it's here in Europe or it's in America, the level is just high and you have really good riders and some really good horses. But I definitely think it's very competitive. Like these speed classes, 145, 150, you really, really have to go very, very fast to be in the top six. So yeah, I think it's very, very competitive. And then, like I said, like the five-star Grand Prix, I think whether it's here in Europe or in America, it's all very high level of sport.
And the prize money as well over there is much higher than what you get in Europe.
Yeah, the prize money is higher, but also the costs are a lot higher. Yeah. So I think in the end, if you balance it, I think it's about the same. Like for sure, the prize money is quite a bit higher. But like I said, the costs and just to even to bring them over to stables there, it's also that cost is a lot higher than it's here.
And what do you think about the infrastructures there? Are they very different from Europe? Because what we see on social media, it looks crazy. I mean,
yeah, it's very different. It's another world. Like when you come there, it's really another, like a separate world on its own. It's because you have the WEF, and then you have all the big stables around. So it's really like a big community, really. And here you have your stable, and then you travel pretty much throughout all of Europe. You go to all the big shows, and then you have to travel a lot. And there you pretty much for 3 months you're just in one place, and you show the 3 months straight on the same place. So I think that's for sure the biggest difference.
So when you're in Europe, of course you travel a lot for shows. Do you both go to the same shows, or do you each have your own show schedule?
At the moment we do a little bit different shows. Okay, when we can, we try to plan the same, but at the moment I have a bit more horses to jump the five-star level, so on, yeah, those shows I do by myself. But from the rest, I think we try to plan a little bit the same shows. Like now, when I think it's the first 2 weeks of April, we want to go to Spain, so then we go together. And also the two and the three stars, we always try to plan a little bit the same shows.
And is it nice to work and compete with and against your brother, or do you guys sense a bit of rivalry between the two of you?
No, I think it's nice. You know, we do the stable together. We basically always work together. We train together. So I think we want to get the best out of our horses, the best out of ourselves. And whoever wins then is just, or wins, who ends on top, it doesn't really matter. You don't see it as a rivalry or something like that. No?
And also, like, it's a whole family thing here, but we also know that you do a lot of breeding.
Yeah. Well, the breeding, I think not so much. We have like four or five breeding mares. Is that right?
A little bit more at the moment.
Or six or seven. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work and a lot of time before you know what you have. But it's definitely good to do as well. But you see some stables that have 20 or between 20 and 30 breeding mares. Takes too much time. And so we have five or six. We try and select them out, the nice ones. And normally they give, like, the good one from Lars, the Girocco Blue, is we bred it ourselves, my dad. So it definitely pays off. But we try and keep it limited, as it's a lot of work.
So it's not something that you would want to develop in the future?
No, I don't think that's our main priority. You know, it's mostly, and also trying to find nice young horses and produce them, build them up to the higher level, and then just keep on a small scale the breeding for sure. But we want to keep that, yeah.
So right now, on average, how many horses do you each ride? And let's say, how many young horses do you have and how many Grand Prix horses do you have at the moment?
I mean, I think it's always depends, you know, the horses got sold. But like for me now, Lars has more older horses than I have. I would say I have, because we both have around, like, I think Lars has 10 or 11 on his list at the moment, and I have like 13, 14 horses. It's always a little bit, we try and keep it like that, not too much more, because then you have to overdo it, I think. I have a bit more young horses than Lars has at the moment, because he's traveling every week to the the big stuff. So yeah, exactly. No, I don't mind that. But yeah, we always try and keep it a bit the same. And like, I have at the moment more young horses than Lars has, but that can also change again.
In this podcast, we focus on the young generation of superstars. So basically, you're still very young. And how is it to have achieved so much so young, so early on? And have you ever regret this lifestyle and want to have like a more normal, you know, social life or upbringing?
Yeah, I get what you mean, but I've never regretted. I think when you do this, you have to be fully committed, and I think we all do it because in the first place, we love to work with horses. I think it's a passion, and think it's more than just a job. You know, it's not that something you go to the office on Monday and on Friday afternoon you put the pen or the computer, you finish, and I think it's really a passion, and I think that's how we started, and I think we still have that, so I never regretted it. Yeah, to be successful in a young age, obviously you always want more and you always dream bigger, which I think is good, because I think if you're satisfied too early on, then it only goes downhill. So I think you always have to keep improving yourself and keep learning, because there is still a lot to develop. Yeah, obviously if I'm looking back, I'm very pleased with how it went. Obviously there's always some things on the road that you think, okay, maybe I could have done that a bit differently, but overall I think I'm quite for now quite happy with the things are achieved and how it went.
And you've both as well also represented the Netherlands in Nations Cup and also in Europeans as well, no?
Yeah.
And you did the Europeans quite young. So did you do ponies as well?
I think I did 8 Europeans. I did my first one in 2013, and I think until 2019-20 I did all of them. So I did quite many in the youth. So I started actually off with the children, so with the horses. And then I did 1 year ponies when I was 14. And then from there on, juniors and young riders.
And what's it like seeing the progression? Because I mean, when you start off with 13, it's not the same course that you do then with your A team. But I guess it must be quite impressive to see like the progression every year. And being selected for the team every year, it's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, no. And like you say, you really grow into it. So you start as 13 as a small boy, you start, and then we started with the children, because I thought that we started on with the horses quite early, but then in combination with the ponies, which I think is very good as a rider to start with the horses also early on. That really, I think, changed the riding a little bit and makes the ponies more easy. So yeah, then going from children and doing the pony Europeans, but yeah, it's really nice to do it with a few different horses. I think that's what makes it quite nice.
And also in the sport in general, or on a personal level, is there someone that inspire you aside from your dad?
I mean, for sure, there's always, I think, for me anyway, I think there's always people you look up to, people you watch, or when you're at a show you watch them. I think there's like the oral in the big sport, the people that do it every year, or that they're in the top 10 for 10 years, like they must be doing something very good. So yeah, you know, you have people like Harry Smulders, let's say Marcus Eining, Steve Cadell, you know, these people you always look up to, you always, I think, try and catch things from and put in your own system, basically.
Is there any other young riders that you look up to?
Okay, I don't know looking up to, but I think there is a few very good young riders, yeah, that you can see already that they will be probably the next, well, a big thing, I don't know how to say it, but like, you know that if they will have the horses, everything goes right, they will be up there for a long time anyway, yeah.
Let's say, look at the future for both of you. Are you guys looking at more kind of staying at the 5-star level, or is Olympics, Nations Cup, representing the Netherlands something that you're looking at? Where do you hope to go in the sport?
So if it's possible, of course, that is a goal. I think we all know, even the guys up there now, it's not easy, it's hard work, and also you have to be lucky to meet the right people. people to get the right horses, because without a good horse, even the best riders, you know, we just need the good horse and also the good match. So I think we depend on a lot of things, but if possible, I think it's of course our dream to do more Nations Cups, to do, like you say, Olympic Games. I think for every young rider, that's a dream. But okay, next to that, I think also very important is for us, the company, to get that going, to really make a successful business here.
Keep it going.
Keep it going. So I think that's I think that's the main priority. And then obviously, if we can do that at the big level and then the top sport next to it, I think that's a very nice bonus and big plus.
And when you talk about the company, is it training and sales for you here in the stables? Or what do you mainly do?
Yeah, so the company is like both the sport and the dealing. It's a bit of combination, and then also training. But that's more my dad at the moment. He trains a few people, including Anastasia and a few more people. So that's a little bit his focus at the moment, that the thing he really tries to focus on. And then I think me and Niels, obviously, we do the riding. And next to it, we try to do a bit of dealing as well. But so I think it's a bit of a mix of producing horses, selling, and then do the sport next to it.
Finding the formula to make money in the sport, no? But
yeah.
We were talking to your dad early on, and he told us that you were actually doing a bit of training.
And me?
Yeah, or you were organizing a competition this weekend.
No, because Lars is riding in Gothenburg, so the whole family goes there and I stay behind. So there's a few people riding in the two-star in Pilbergen, so I would just step in and help them when my dad is not there.
And you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it to do. Okay, I think to do it good, you need to have time. Because if you have a lot to ride, obviously. But I think when you have time, I think it's nice to do. If I'm good, I don't know, but I like to do it.
No one's complained or fallen off yet, no?
Not yet.
And speaking of time, with 15 horses a day, do you have time to ride each of them? And do you have time to do, let's say, things aside from riding or aside from the stall? Or is it all a bit kind of scheduling every minute of the day?
Well, we make a proper plan in the morning. I think we ride between, let's say, eight to nine horses a day, each of us.
Eight
horses, sometimes nine. The other ones, they also get ridden. It's not that they don't come out. Other people doing that, or they get launched. It's just about making a good plan for each horse. And like, okay, maybe saying if you have on your list 15 horses, it sounds like a lot, but I mean, when you have the right people in the right place, it's doable.
And can you tell us a bit about the Young Rider Academy, Lars? We know you're part of it, and how is the experience? What did it bring to you?
First of all, I thought it was quite an honor to be in it. I know it's always very wanted by the young riders, like also at the selection days. I think it was like a group of 30 riders. So to be picked, of course, is already it's very nice. No, I think it was very interesting. So we went to do these days. I think in total we have 5 or 6 times that we went away for like 3-4 days. And then we have riding wise, we have kind of lessons, or also but on financial, media, the veterinary. So all kinds of different aspects of our sport and what has to do with the horses. So I think that was very, very interesting. And also they helped me to get into a few shows. So that was a very nice bonus and very nice to get the young riders going. I think that's very nice, because it's not easy for young riders to get into these big 5-star shows or these World Cup shows. So I think that's very good that they try to get some spots, not just for me, but for all the riders in the academy to get them going at the biggest level.
And you mentioned that it's quite difficult to get the spot at the top shows. So how do you guys normally manage? Do you get chosen by the federation, or are you usually wild cards?
Yeah, so normally, but it doesn't always work, of course, but I try a little bit to speak with the chef de keep and see if I can just get a few spots through the federation. Obviously, I think it's important you have the horses in good shape, they perform well. That makes it for sure a lot easier. If you have done some good results, then I think the spots come a bit easier, of course. But like I said, I had I think 2 shows now through the academy. They got me in, and then the rest I tried to just by performing as well as possible to get in through the federation.
And is Spruce Meadows or Aachen hopefully on the schedule for you? Can the academy get you in, or are those a bit more complex?
Well, that are, I think, in my opinion, the 2 biggest shows in the world. So Aachen, for me, I rode Aachen last year, but it was also was one of the nicest things in my life, but also one of the biggest disappointments. The Nations Cup, it went wrong with my horse. So that was a very, like, Aachen was a dream for me to ride. So to be able to ride in Aachen and to be on the team was a dream come true. The result wasn't what I hoped for. So obviously that was a setback. But I think that actually, that made me, yeah, I learned a lot from it. I think obviously in the moment you're disappointed, but I think it's important to switch straight away and to also see it from the good side, to learn a lot from it. So Aachen I experienced in a way, but the show is unbelievable. So obviously, hopefully I can get back there. If it's not this year, maybe hopefully within the next few years. And Spruce Met is the same. I think as a young rider, these shows is absolutely a dream.
And what's it like, especially the Nations Cup at Aachen? It's at night, it's under floodlight. Yeah. What's the feeling for you and for the horse when you walk into this massive and impressive arena with all those spectators? Yeah. I mean, do you have to take a second to kind of take it all in, or are you so focused on the course?
Yeah, the moment you ride in, I think you're focused on the job. But like already, like in the presentation, you know, when you sit in the car and in these Mercedeses, you drive around and already see, you know, the stands getting full, more full and full. I think that's a very special feeling, and obviously I really enjoyed that, and like I said, hopefully I can get back there a few more times in my career and get some great results in both Nations Cup and Grand Prix.
So maybe it didn't go as planned in Aachen, but you had a really great show in Brabant, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
In the Brabant.
Sorry.
Den Bosch.
So can you tell us a bit about that one?
Yeah, so that one was also quite special because it was with our own breath horse, with Halilea. So actually, like when you say that with the breeding, we actually have been quite lucky with some very nice horses from our own breeding. And I think that also makes it very special. I did some very nice stuff with her, but obviously in the Brabant, it's a different show than Aachen and Spruce Meadows, but it's one of the big four together with Geneva. And then obviously in Holland on home soil. So for me, that was a very, very special moment in front of the home crowd. I could really feel they were really cheering me on. And I ended up sixth, which was a great result, but I think if you saw the competition and the people in front of me, I think you in the end I was very, very pleased obviously with the result and very proud of the horse as well.
And have you guys ever done a Nations Cup or been in a team together?
Only for the juniors, actually. One time, I think, you know, in Aachen we won it, but not on the seniors, not yet.
Okay. Is that something you would like to do in the future?
Yes, very much. That would be... We didn't do a three-star Nations Cup together, did we? No, because I only did one or two. No, but basically we did, yeah, but with the juniors.
And how does it work for the Nations Cup? So do you select the ones that you would want to be considered for, or does the chef, they keep just call you and tell you the one that you've been kind of elected for?
So last year, yeah, I had contact with the chef to keep, and obviously it's a big job to get all the riders in place. So we spoke a bit like what is possible, what I prefer to do, but obviously in the end it's up to the chef to keep. But then he gave me a call and he pretty much told me if I wanted I could ride. I think he named four back then. I did La Bolle and then a few more. So in the end it's up to him, but obviously you speak with, I think the chef to keep speaks with all his riders that he has in mind maybe for to do a few Nations Cups. And then I think for this year he still has to plan that. I think for Rome, maybe he's Rome San Gallo because they're quite early on, and Ocala he already made the teams, I think, but for later on I think he will discuss with the riders and make a plan from there.
And how is it to be like in a team with Harry Smulders and all these big names that maybe you've been looking up to when you were younger?
Yeah, amazing. I think for me, still, if you ask me for still my nicest moment of my career, I still would say it's my first Senior Nations Cup in Dublin, because I think the Nations Cup just has something really special to it. At least for me, when I grew up, we always used to watch the Nations Cup on the screen at home on a television. So for me to ride the Nations Cup was something very special. And then, like you say, to ride with Harry Smulders, Michael van der Vleut, Jurgen Frieling, all these guys, they were my idols, and now you're together with them in the team and just speak about horses. And
how is the team spirit inside the team? Because if we look at the team from Switzerland, it feels like they're a bit of a little family. Is it the same for your team?
Yeah, I have to say in Holland, it's also very warm. Okay, I think Switzerland has more a little bit of a smaller group of riders. So I think it's even a bit, little bit more different because they do a lot of the Nations Cup with the same four or five riders. And in Holland, you have a few more riders doing the globals as well. So in Holland, I think you have to be, maybe there are like 8 or 10 riders to do the throughout the season, do some Nations Cups. So it's a bit more spread out, but I think the Dutch are also very together and very warm with each other. And, you know, every evening have dinner together and yeah, really try to get a team feeling.
And speaking of the Netherlands, I mean, you guys are based here, but would you ever envision moving elsewhere or traveling abroad for a season or something, maybe somewhere with a bit better weather? But I guess you guys are used to it.
No, I think for sure the plan is to stick around here for, I mean, I think we're in a very good place in general for the horses. I think it's a very, we have very good, like Pilberg, Centaur, these places are very close to go training, to go also national shows, which is also part of our weekly routine. But no, I don't think moving is considered here.
And Lars spoke before about his kind of treasured memory here, but what would you say, Niels, is your most like fond memory in the sport so far?
Well, okay, I never really... I jumped 1 5-star Grand Prix before, so I don't have the experience on that level that Lars has. But because I moved home last year and I did my last show because I was working for Leon Thijssen, he's quite a big also stable. And then in the last show I won the 3-star Grand Prix in Villamora on a mare that I was produced since a 7-year-old. Which I think for me it was a quite a special moment to end on a high with the horse that I have very very good connection with. So I think that's gonna stay with me for a bit.
And are you happy to be home? Do you want to stay home or would you venture out maybe in the future again?
No, I'm very happy to be home. Okay, it's not been not easy, but like it's obviously when I was away, I was doing basically every week 3-4-star. I was almost in the top 100 in the world. Like, okay, I said I was not doing the same height as maybe Lars is doing now, but as for sport, I was very high up there. And I came home and I didn't really have the horses. So I had to build them up. I'm getting them back now, I think, for the feeling. So for the feeling, obviously, you think you go down. But I mean, it's just, I think it's 1 or 2 steps back to go 3-4 steps in front again. So, but I'm very happy that I'm back working with Lars again. I enjoy that very much. Also with my family, with my mother, with my dad. And I think it has also many, many good things to be your own boss, because I have experience working for people also for 6-7 years. And I really like it to control things on your own. So I wouldn't want that to disappear anyway.
Yeah, the freedom you have for working for yourself a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it really they say it, but it really is like that. Okay, it also has disadvantage. It's not only, but I would never want again not to have the freedom.
And you mentioned before that, so now you've come home and of course it's a bit more difficult to find the 5-star level horse. How difficult would you guys say that in today's market it is to find that 5-star Olympic horse, let's say?
It's nearly impossible. No, it sounds, but unless you have a very, very big wallet to say, I buy a horse this weekend and next week I want to jump a 5-star Grand Prix. Yeah, you're talking about you have to spend a few million. It's crazy. So, and then also again, if you say I want to go to national shows and look for horses, all the big stables, they have all people going around, you know, going to the stables to look horses, so to find a horse. So basically what we have to do is try and either breed them or find them as a 3-4-year-old and produce them, or get lucky and get owners that bring horses. But I mean, to buy them is nearly impossible.
Yeah, that's really crazy, especially with the games coming up. I've heard that the prices and the switching.
Yeah, and exactly. But also now before for the Olympics, there's many people that wanted to get still a horse. So there was a lot of question about it, yeah.
And do you have any promising young horses at the moment?
Yeah, we have a few very nice ones. I think either 4 or 5 6-year-olds. I think we have a few very nice ones, but obviously, and they need time. And also when they're like, they can look nice now, but you never know until they're, let's say, 8 or 9, and they actually have to start to jump very big, what they are about. There is many factors that go into, in the end, having a, let's take for example the good mare that we bred, that Lars rides, to get them on that level, to keep them sound, keep them fit, keep them happy. It's a very big process.
How did you decide who got to ride which horse?
So I think that was quite easy actually, because so Lars had a few owners, like he was riding a horse for the owners, so obviously he kept on riding those horses, and then he had a few horses that were owned by ourselves. We split them up a little bit, and then I got a few people that wanted to bring a few horses for me, but that was actually very easy. It was actually very easy.
So you don't switch generally?
No, not really. I think because I had one or two horses that didn't fit me really, and I gave them to Lars. Because I think also because he went to, we had two old horses that are from ourselves. I didn't feel like I could take the everything out of them, like the best. And I think Lars could do it more, and think we're in a good position that we can switch. And if it goes better with Lars, I'm happy to give them to Lars.
So we don't want to take too much of your time. So one last question for both of you. If you had any advice to give to a young rider who wants to reach the top level, what would you say?
I mean, I think what I would say is that you really have to put in the work. Don't be afraid to work. I think it's the first thing. And maybe Lars has another one.
Yeah, obviously work is a big, big thing. But I also think setbacks, I think you can treat that on two things. You can, you know, really see it as a negative, but I think also try to see it as a learning process, and to really keep working on yourself. And if you have a small setback, don't get all negative, but try to just find the things to make it better, and to really keep working on yourself. I think that's in the end. I think in the big five-star sport, you can see the mentality thing is also a big thing. I think the big riders, you have to be strong mentally. So I think that more and more is also with mental trainers. And I think that's a big part in it as well.
Well, thank you very much. It's been really interesting. We'll let you get back to your horses now. But thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Beyond the Stables. We hope that you enjoyed this simple and authentic conversation with the twins as much as we did. Make sure to follow Star Kirsten, Nils and Lars on Instagram to follow their journey. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us and to subscribe to stay updated on our latest releases. Your support is important as it helps us continue to bring you inspiring stories from the world of show jumping. See you next week for next episode.
They jump the last, they're clear. That's a great start.